Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone out there. This is August Crenshaw, your host of As a Kid Radio Show. Happy to be back. Please endure with me. My body has attempted to become under the weather. So if I sound a little strange or get a little coffee or whatever, I am apologetic already in advance. But I'm happy to be back today. And today I think is going to be the most controversial day of As a Kid Radio Show. For those of you that follow me on Facebook, I'm not even going to pause today. I'm not going to do much of my usual talking and updates. I'm just going straight in. The title today is, Does the Church Really Know How to Respond to Homosexuality? So, before I even begin to talk about homosexuality, I just want to throw some thoughts and some questions and some points, ideas out there and go from there. My answer immediately, you guys know I always give the answer in the beginning, which is either going to make you want to listen or not want to listen, but my answer to the question that I proposed in my mind is no. The church does not know how to respond to homosexuality. There seems to be a very, very large disparity between all of the sins that you can think of and how the church deals with homosexuality. And I think that the most people in the church don't know how to deal and don't really become desensitized to it until it hits close to home. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, you know, before I even go any further, am I homosexual? No. I'm married. I love my husband. I've always been attracted to men. Do I agree with homosexuality? No, it's weird to me. When I see it, it kind of creeps me out. It does, you know, somebody might not like me saying it like that, but it makes me shudder. And I hate it more. I can tolerate it, but I hate it more when I'm somewhere with my daughter and she has to see it. I'm talking about my 9-year-old, or if I'm watching something on television and, you know, the scene comes with a man and a man or a woman kissing, and you're like, are you serious? I can't believe that. You know, the TV show Scandal, I remember when I first saw it, I was like, oh, my God, I love this show. It's just full of drama. And that weirded me out when I saw the guy Cyrus and his boyfriend. But in spite of all of that, so what? Yeah, I said it, so what? I mean, how many of you, when you have your family gathering, you know that one drunk uncle is going to come over. He is going to act a fool. He always has a beer in his hand. And, you know, people kind of look and like, oh, God, I hope he doesn't do anything today. Some people be like, well, you know, such and such is just going to be who they are. You know, do we sit there and get weirded out and want to kick him out, or do we tolerate him? Well, depending on the family and depending on what he does, you may kick him out, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. A lot of times you just look and be like, there go Uncle So-and-so doing what they usually do. You know, what about the one little hoochie mama in the family that's coming over there and always got a little clothes fitting any old kind of way, and everybody and their mama want to screw, even some of the cousins want to screw their own cousins, or the uncle want to touch, you know, their own niece because she coming over there and she had to try. And everybody and their mama know she's screwing anything and everything she wants to. She lives how she wants to, does what she wants to do. Do we sit there and say, oh, my God, I can't be around her? I get weirded out. And the answer to those questions are no. But the last time I checked, if you look in the Bible, I don't see any discrepancies between how either one of those sins are looked at. Last time I checked, they were all looked at the same. You know, so I think it's important for the church to have a conversation about homosexuality. And I'm going to be honest with you, for a long time, you know, especially in the African-American community, we wanted to believe that that was a white issue. But homosexuality is an issue that branches across all races. And I am finding that it is hitting closer and closer to home for me. Matter of fact, I have one relative that we still waiting to see when they're going to come out the closet. And it's been something that me and some of my people in the family have said something about for years. It hasn't happened yet, but when it hits, I think it's going to hit hard. You know, for those of you that know I'm from St. Louis, I was a hairstylist for many, many years. And I had a client who referred me to her daughter. And the first time I met her daughter, I was like, whoa, I'm pretty sure that she's gay. You know, a lesbian, you know, look, if I don't say things politically correct, charge it to the game. I'm an 80s baby, so we say stuff a different way than people say it now. But, you know, I could tell it. You know, she had a roommate, and I was like, this girl is not her roommate. This is probably her girlfriend, and this is the way she just plays it off, so no one knows what's going on with her. Well, it took about maybe 2 years or so later, and one day that client had a conversation with me, and she just broke down. And when she looked at my face, she was like, oh, my God, you knew. And I was like, yeah, I did, you know. And to watch this woman and the things that she has had to deal with in dealing with this transition has been, I don't even know what to call it. You know, the husband was like, no. That ain't how I raised my daughter. I don't want nothing to do with her. The mother's like, I cannot believe this. This is against God. These are Christian, upstanding Christian people who have to deal with the fact that their daughter came out of the closet on them. And what I have found is that, honestly, the love of God has come out of the mother more than it has the average person in the church when you have to deal with homosexuality. Because, see, at the end of the day, she does not want to lose her daughter. She doesn't understand what her daughter does. She doesn't condone what her daughter does. But she does not spend every 5 minutes condemning what her daughter does. She still calls her because she's still her daughter, and she still wants to know, you know, what did you have for breakfast? How are things going on your job? You know, just regular practical things. Because for some reason, once the word homosexual comes up, I think that we forget that these individuals are still people. They are people with jobs. They are people with dreams and ambitions. They are people in your community, leaders. You know, it's just that in this area of intimacy, and not necessarily all the way full-blown sexuality, but at this level of intimacy, they prefer someone that's of the same sex. So just like the other part, just like the drunkard in your family, they may be heterosexual, but they're rambunctious and crazy because they just prefer to have some type of beverage that makes them non-sober anymore. So the church has really got to get this together because, you know, how do you, quote, unquote, save the lost? You know, Jesus said, I didn't come for the well, for the, you know, they need not a physician. I've come for the sick. You know, so how do you think of someone as being sick, but then you can't tolerate being around them? You got homophobia, so you can't address these individuals and you can't help them. And some of you may be like, okay, August, you're running your mouth and you're ranting and raving. Okay, but number one, remember, I'm practical. I'm still spiritual, and the Bible, I believe, is practical too. And we'll look at some scriptures in a minute. But, I mean, what difference does it make if you can quote a bunch of scriptures and you can be all super-duper spiritual, but you can't even have a conversation with an everyday person? And guess what? These homosexual individuals are everyday people. You know, it took my cousin, Rachelle Smith, to put something up on Facebook that really put a challenge out there, and it's crazy that she did this like a couple of days after we had a conversation, you know, about this. But there are, you know, some people, I believe you're just doing what you want to do. You're extremely experimental and you want to try any and everything. But here's the thing. If you ask some church people, are homosexuals born that way because it's a sin and it ain't the way that God wanted it to be, then no, ain't nobody born that way. But, you know, they're called intersex now. They used to be called hermaphrodites. I've learned that is a disrespectful terminology. So people that are born intersex have a little bit of female and male hormones in their body. Explain that for me. There was actually an episode that she posted a clip from Oprah, where a woman was born with a little bit of both, and I guess it was easier to just sew up her vagina and leave her with the penis, but the hormones in her body were more feminine than they were male. So this woman went through all of these different changes in trying to be a man, but not ever being able to be one, even got married, didn't work out, got divorced, became an alcoholic and all of these other things because the situation wasn't handled appropriately with determining which sex this individual was supposed to have, male or female. You know, when people are born like that, you cannot say that they were or were not born gay. What scripture would I like to use to do that? Well, any type of deformity. Now, you may say, well, August, this isn't a sin issue. It's just a physical issue. But remember when the little boy was born blind and the question was brought to Jesus, who sinned? Why is this boy like this? Was it the mother, the father? Was it the kid? And what was Jesus' response? Jesus said, it was nobody's fault. It's of no one's sin. But it is rather that you should be able to see the power of God. So that's my challenge. When you're around someone that is homosexual, is it really for you to try to figure out whether they were or were not born that way, who did or didn't sin, who opened the door, versus for you to show the power of God? And nowadays, for us, because we are not Jesus, the power of God is, he said, that you're supposed to love God with all of your entire being, and you're supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, here's another challenge. Once again, I say that if we're going to look at homosexuality, we have to look at all of the sins as a whole. I'll use my family as an example. Yeah, you guys know I have several kids. I have a 19-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 1-year-old, a 18-month-old, and a baby. Well, I was very young when I had the first one. I was 19 myself. And I remember thinking to myself one day when me and my brothers were sitting around having a drink, I wonder if she ever going to drink. So what I did was I put a little bit of alcohol in a milk carton, and I put it by her to see if she would drink it. This would be my oldest daughter, Kamaria. She picked up the milk carton naturally. She got a whiff what was in it. She put it down. And to this day, I have not gotten my 19-year-old daughter to have a drink of wine. I've said, hey, it's New Year's Eve. Do you want to toast with us? It's mom's anniversary. Some people might be saying, why are you doing that? She's not even 21. Come on, America, don't play with me. You know, some of you may do that. The rest of you, come on, don't go there with me. But she doesn't want to, and she never has. Now, I also have a 9-year-old. Now, my 9-year-old, I didn't try that with her, but one mistake was made one day. My, at that time, boyfriend, who's now my husband, had a beer, and he had left the bottle sitting on the table, and they had come in from being babysat, and the first thing that my 9-year-old did was picked it up and drank it. When I came in there and saw it, she was drinking it like it was water. And I'm like, oh, my God, this should taste disgusting to her, you know, because I'll be honest with you, you know, alcohol for real is not tasty unless it's a what they call a girly drink, but we're going to leave that alone, too. Well, on the other hand, now, why did one kid take it and the other one wouldn't? Why did one guzzle it down like water, and why is the other one can't even tolerate, why can't the other one even tolerate the smell of it? Well, maybe it has a lot to do with my 9-year-old's grandmother. On her father's side, excuse me, is an alcoholic, has struggled with alcoholism for all her life. So maybe there really is something in her genetic code, in her taste buds, that is more prone to be accepting of the taste of alcoholic beverages. That's something that I keep at the forefront of my mind to pay attention to as she gets older so that I can raise her to be like, hey, you know, you got to know your limits, et cetera, because that's a reality. Now, let's get away from sins. Let's get into just the nature of an individual. My 18-month-old, that girl can dance. I mean, she got rhythm. She can move her shoulders, and you know, she can shake and rock. I've never danced like that in front of her. But where did she get it from? And anybody that knows me and knows my past, you know that I'm a dancer. I can dance on skates, and I can dance on my feet. So there are some things that we're just more naturally capable of doing. There are some things that are in our system. And at the end of the day, even if somebody is born being born a homosexual, technically aren't you going against the scriptures when you say that it is impossible? I thought the word said we all were born in sin. We all was born defective, and we needed him to die on the cross for us. And it just so happens that maybe that the thing that this other person was born into was not an attitude problem of rage. It was homosexuality. What about the murderer? I mean, you got people that are actually, I mean, think about this. You say homosexual and people run the other way. But there are people out there that have prison ministries. Now, at the end of the day, what's the worst thing a homosexual can do to you? Say, hey, boo, and you'd be like, no, thank you. But you're doing a prison ministry, even though it's supposed to be on lock and key, it's supposed to be calmed down and security is there. You're going around people who may have done something as simple as get caught with some weed or somebody that could have murdered someone. And you got some people that are adamant. They want the hardcore criminals. They want to be able to convert the people who have done some of the most heinous crimes in the world. But our last time I checked, when you read in Corinthians, when it said the ones that would not inherit the kingdom of heaven, murderers was listed. It wasn't just people that participated in homosexual activity. So you say, well, August, you know, don't you know that it's not that we look at homosexuality the wrong way. Didn't you read about Sodom and Gomorrah? Come on, who hasn't read about Sodom and Gomorrah if you were raised in church? I was. But so what? So are you saying that because there's nothing in the scriptures that says that God destroyed that city because it was homosexual in nature? When you look at the scriptures, the chapter before the city was destroyed, when the angels came to Abraham and he was pleading on behalf of Sodom, the angels said that their cry is great and their sins are grievous. They weren't just in there being homosexuals. I'm sure that there were people in there stealing, robbing, cussing, doing some of everything that you can think of. Go back, read Genesis chapter 17 and 18. The scriptures say that the city was going to be destroyed by God because their sins were grievous. And I'm not trying to be funny. Let's go back to Noah. God didn't just destroy a city. He destroyed the whole world. And that didn't say anything about homosexuality. It just talked about people and how they were turning their heart from God and how God repented that he had even ever made man. So you can't look at the fact that he destroyed a city to say that there's justification for having a little bit more of an anxiety towards the sin level in a homosexual, because he only destroyed two cities. And I'm sure there were homosexuals in other cities during that day and age. He destroyed a whole world for the sins that were going on before. So, I mean, hey, that's not a parallel argument. You know, sometimes you have to get beyond just reading the Bible and looking at a scripture and saying, ooh, look at what this says. Sometimes you need to sit back and you actually need to think outside of the box. You need to sometimes just sit and not listen to what's been told typically by the pastor when they've ministered or what you know that someone else will say. That way you can see something as simple as, yeah, whoa, he only destroyed two cities, but woo, at one point he destroyed the whole world. What's another scripture we look to? Romans chapter 1, where it talks about how God gave them up, but it didn't say God just gave up the people who gave up the natural use of men and women. It says that he did that for the drunkards. For the matter of fact, you know what? I'm going to go to that one because it was a heavy list in there. I said Romans chapter 1. You know, and it kept on saying, and God gave him up, and God gave him up, and God gave him up. Okay, well, let's see what kind of people did God give up. The kind of people that God gave up, let's go to Romans chapter 1, just so that we can see this. It says, I'm going to go ahead and go at verse 26 in Romans chapter 1. We have, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that the recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that's an issue, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness.
fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, who, if that isn't a worldwide problem right now, without understanding, covenant breakers, and so on and so on and so on. So you can read the scriptures, and you can see whatever you want to see, but at the end of the day, God is a jealous God. He does not like idolatry. He does not like any other God being put before him. That will set him off. For a lot of times, he wanted to just completely destroy the Israelites. He didn't even want to destroy a city. He just wanted to destroy the people. But someone like Moses pleaded on their behalf for God not to do that. So take the time to put all of those things into consideration. We have got to stop badgering people and looking at them crazy and acting like we don't know how to have relationships with them because they are quote-unquote homosexual. It's time for the church to start understanding that their issue ain't no different than any of the other issues that we have. We have got to stop looking at them like there is something extra special about their sin that makes them stick out. Because you know something? For instance, I know this young lady who had a teacher. When I say that this man is phenomenal, the way that he reached out to the community, he was white, the way that he dealt with African-Americans and white students, he just was a bundle of love and joy. His disposition towards community, and he was a devout churchgoer, but he was homosexual. I don't have time to debate with this man about whether or not he's going to heaven or hell because, you know what, my cousin Pookie that come over to the house drunk every 5 minutes, I'm not debating with him every 5 minutes either saying, you know what, you drunk. Every time I see you, you drunk. That's why you're going to die and go to hell because you're drunk. Because the Bible says a drunkard isn't going to inherit the kingdom of heaven just like it says that a homosexual or an envious person is not either. You know, so I put a lot out there on the table. You know, I really, really want you guys to step outside of the box and think about, I'm not asking you to be homosexual. I'm not. I'm not even asking you to like it. I mean, who's ever been next to a crackhead? I have because I have them in my family, okay? But just because they do it, And I don't like it, that doesn't mean that I cannot love them. That doesn't mean that I cannot respond to them. And it just seems to be something that goes wrong with us with dealing with people, and we don't know how to respond to them all of a sudden because they don't do what we do. They don't act like we act when it comes to relationships. But everything else about them is the same. They go home, they cook, they clean, they wash their dishes, they hold jobs. You know, I think sometimes we see pictures of individuals who are so flamboyant and out there that we let that be the picture that we think of. But there are a lot of people that if they don't show it, you won't even know what their sexual orientation is. These people are human beings at the end of the day. And how dare you say that you're a Christian and that you love God when you can't even have a conversation with them or you don't believe that they belong to your church, and every 5 minutes you have to remind them of who they are and what they're doing and why they're going to die and go to hell. I just read that scripture in Romans chapter 1, and it said that murderers, it also said envious people. Are you envious? I mean, come on, what other kind of sins do we have, but there, you know, we need to come out of the closet on? Yeah, because nobody knows that that sin is existing inside of us because we can cover it up. You see, don't nobody know you hate your sister because she played you, you know, a couple years ago for some money. You know what I'm saying? And you won't even speak to her and you hate her, but she lives all the way in Atlanta and you live all the way in California. So since you two never crossed paths, excuse me, nobody knows how much a hatred is in your heart for that individual. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. You know, the church woman that's been in church all her life and you go there every Sunday, but you go home and you talk bad about everybody in the church. You gossip about everybody in church. You spread business all over the church. I could have sworn that in Proverbs it said that one of the things that God hates is the sower of discord among the brethren. Come on, people. Let's mature up. Let's get it together. And let's look at the reality of really what's going on. You know, I really can't say anything more. I think that I brought up a whole lot of valid points, especially in reference to the scientific nature behind it. But I want everybody that listened today, or you go back and you listen in the archives, to just sit back and really think about it, because we think that there's an epidemic, but I think it's going to hit a lot more closer to home for a lot of us sooner than we think. And will you be like that client that I said that's going to love no matter what? So, church, let's get ourselves in a position where we really know how to respond to this topic. I don't know if anyone had any questions or comments. I don't see anyone putting any posts up in the chat room. I always wait for anybody that may want to push the one to see if you want to make a comment. But otherwise, it was sweet and simple and to the point today, people. So my prayer is that we all begin to understand how to love people and reach them no matter where they are. And to know how to accept people and have conversations behind what's beyond what's wrong with them. Because nobody wants to talk to someone, excuse me, who is constantly telling you what your problem is and what's wrong with you. So I thank you guys for tuning in. Brief announcement towards the end. Because of some, most of you know I'm a new mommy, and there are some challenges that I have to deal with adjusting my child and the schedule and stuff like that. I don't plan on going anywhere. I do plan on continuing to do the show, putting intriguing thoughts out there. Typically, I've almost always gone for an hour. For the next several months, I am going to be trying to, just like I did today, just ram in there and just say bam, 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 and throw the hardcore points out there and try to condense the show down to 30 minutes. So just to let you know, if you usually kind of come in kind of late, you might miss the meat of it, but you can always go to the website, blogtalkradio.com/as a kid. And if you missed anything, re-listen to the whole message. You can do that any day of the week. I'm always looking for people to be a guest on the show or to send me topics. This topic is actually because of my cousin, Rachel Smith, this time. I'm putting her out there, and she knows why. LOL. But you can reach me at augustcrenshaw@yahoo.com, and you can also reach me on Facebook. At August Crenshaw on Facebook. So thank you all for joining in. May God have control of your heart and mind when it comes to dealing with his people. Thanks. Talk to you next week.